Arms Warbrick on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
10 to 6 the time, Friday evening. Tom Swarbrick here on LBC, which, as you know, means one thing and one thing only. You get on that sofa, yeah, and you crack that first tin open. For Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, the question before all of us this Friday night is, can the President of the United States be a peacemaker overseas while waging war at home? Because this American Week, that is exactly what Donald Trump has been doing. Let's start with the peacemaking bit.
They're smart, but they're not smart enough. They have been covered by these liberal cities.
As Attorney General Pam Bondi outlined plans to flood American streets with troops to suppress protests against the president.
To find the criminal conspiracy.
Okay.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio handed the president a note and whispered into his ear. It was all very much like the moment when President George W. Bush was first informed of Al-Qaeda's 9/11 attacks on America in 2001, although at the time he was about to read stories to young children rather than authorize a military strike on his own country. The note, said the president with a flourish, changed everything.
Yeah, I was just given a note by the Secretary of State saying that we're very close to a deal in the Middle East and they're going to need me pretty quickly. So I will take a couple of more questions.
The note, it turned out, was not summoning the President of the United States to abandon his meeting and jump on a phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu or Jared Kushner and Special Envoy Steve Witkoff guiding the negotiations between Israel and Hamas in Egypt, or even the Egyptian, Qatari and Turkish officials who had also facilitated what the President would later describe as phase one of peace in Gaza. In what may have inadvertently been one of the funnier moments of the Trump administration, the note was simply telling the president that he was urgently needed to approve the wording of a post on his social media account that would announce the negotiations had succeeded. The lads in the back room, they were doing the hard graft, but when it came to his all-important messaging over Truth Social, for that, they needed him.
President Trump, you have the best crowd in the world. What do you guys have to say to President Trump?
Thank you!
Not long thereafter, the president was on the phone with his Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick and the families of Israeli-American hostages, thrilled by the news that their two-year ordeal may, within days, be over.
You did it!
Wow. You did it! Wow.
Mr. President, we believe in you. We know you've done so much for us. Blessed be the peacemakers.
God bless you, Mr. President. God bless America.
Thank you very much. You just take care of yourselves. The hostages will come back. They're coming. All coming back on Monday.
All of them.
Now, there is absolutely no doubting the scale of President Trump's achievement in at least creating the possibility that the war in Gaza may come to an end. And it is to the eternal shame of former President Joe Biden, former Vice President Kamala Harris, and the Democrats more broadly that they never came close to resolving the crisis. America's ironclad support for the Israeli military assault on Gaza, because that's what Joe Biden relentlessly called it, gave Netanyahu carte blanche to do whatever he wanted in the territory. So, of course, did President Trump, until he saw the opening that he needed, Netanyahu's disastrous attack on Hamas negotiating officials in Doha last month. It was that assault on Qatari sovereignty, a close ally of the United States, that led Trump to force the Israeli leader into serious negotiations, a blinder of a mistake, the price for which Israel's prime minister is now being forced to pay.
The whole world came together, to be honest, so many countries that you wouldn't have even thought of it, and they came together.
The president took a victory lap on Sean Hannity's Wednesday night program on Fox News.
I think you're going to see people getting along, and you'll see Gaza being rebuilt. We're forming a council that, the Council of Peace, we think it's going to be called, and it's going to be very powerful, and it's going to really, I think to a large extent, it's going to have a lot to do with the whole Gaza situation.
Now, as you may have gathered from that, he's a bit loosey-goosey on the details of what happens after the hostages are freed. Israel hands over potentially 2,000 Palestinian and Hamas detainees. There is some kind of military withdrawal by the IDF to an agreed line in the sand, and hundreds of trucks of humanitarian aid are allowed into Gaza daily by Israeli officials accused of using starvation as a weapon of war in the territory. And clearly, any one of those four elements could still go badly wrong. But what about the big picture, the long-term stuff? Take a listen to what happened at the White House yesterday when Jeff Mason of Reuters made a pretty routine inquiry.
What is your view now on a two-state solution?
I don't have a view. I'm going to go with what they agree to.
So he has no view on a two-state solution, which seems like a bit of a gap in the narrative. Either you want one or you don't. And as for his relationship with Prime Minister Netanyahu...
Given that there are some tough provisions for Israel in this, are you at all concerned that Bibi Netanyahu may not continue in his post and may be deposed?
Look, this politics, it could be. I don't know. I think he's very popular right now. He's much more popular today than he was 5 days ago.
Laughter around the cabinet table in Washington, a little bit less of that perhaps within the Prime Minister's office in Tel Aviv. The hours and days ahead will tell us whether the Trump plan holds, but they will also tell us whether the peacemaker in the Middle East is about to become even more of a warmonger at home.
You guys came to the school to do this?
Do you have a warrant?
In Chicago this week, just one of countless outrages being perpetrated by President Trump's Gestapo. The masked, thuggish agents of his Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division descended on a line of cars waiting to pick children up from the West Loop Elementary School. There, they dragged a woman out of her vehicle without any warrant or other apparent grounds for suspicion. And as terrified and furious parents watched, she narrated her own arrest.
My name is Jocelyn from Cicero. They don't have a warrant. They forced us out of the car. They were following us. They were on the deck.
Whoa, indeed. But we are now seeing things like this every day in Chicago, in Portland, on the streets of American cities where President Trump has authorized ICE to ride roughshod all over the American Constitution. The agency is so brutalizing that even local police in Chicago are threatening to bring criminal charges against it. At one point last weekend, ICE agents managed to tear gas members of the Chicago Police Department. In Portland, police there threatened to arrest ICE agents too. And joining the trashing of the American Constitution and the protections it is supposed to afford criminal suspects, Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security. This week, she actually started questioning suspects minutes after they were detained, on camera, of course, in her non-stop quest to impress her boss, the president.
How many times have you come in and I've gone out of the country illegally?
Five times? 7 years.
But how old are you? 27? And you're not married and you have no children? All right, well, you will be brought to justice and prosecuted for your crimes.
Nothing about that is legal. All of it is the instrumentation of a totalitarian state. The president says he may soon invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807 to blanket the streets, not only with National Guard troops, but also with active duty members of the Army and the Marine Corps. All of that, of course, in the teeth of opposition to any military presence on their streets from the elected Democrats who run states like Illinois and Oregon. Here is the president on Monday talking about Chicago.
Listen to the governor and the mayor get up and say how they have it under control. They don't. It's probably worse than almost any city in the world. You can go to Afghanistan, you can go to a lot of different places, and they probably marvel at how much crime we have.
Worse than Kabul. Complete nonsense, but all designed to set the stage for major confrontation to come. On Capitol Hill, where the government remains shut down with no end to that in sight, the Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, Mike Johnson, was asked whether he now thinks the governor of Illinois and the mayor of Chicago should be jailed as the president is demanding.
I'm not the attorney general. I'm the Speaker of the House, and I'm trying to manage the chaos here. I'm not following the day-to-day on that.
He cannot even bring himself to say, no, they shouldn't be. There are so few guardrails left now, and they're falling by the wayside daily. Now, often at the end of American Week, I reflect on the death of a notable American when one has occurred. But today, I am delighted to be able to confirm that one very notable American is still with us.
Hey, Natalie, bring your camera over here.
Well, today's October the 8th, and obviously I'm here doing some commercials for the Grand Ole Opry.
The great Dolly Parton putting to bed rumours that she was about to expire after one of her sisters published a social media post saying she was unwell and needed everyone's prayers.
I did have to cancel some things so I could be closer to home, closer to Vanderbilt, you know, where I'm kind of having a few treatments here and there. But I wanted you to know that I'm not dying. I figured if you heard it from me, you'd know that I was okay.
So with that good news and thoughts of Gaza very much center stage, how better to end, Tom, than with Ms. Parton teaming up with members of Ladysmith Black Mambazo for this rendition of a Cat Stevens classic about the inexorable march towards peace.
Peace train, holy roller, everyone jump on the peace train.
Washington, D.C., driving his own peace train, LBC's Simon Marks.